have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 this morning, verse 1. Amen. Don't you love KC West Virginia's worship team? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, verse 4. If you have your Bibles, have your apps. What a powerful piece of passage. Verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you." Everybody say, he will bless you. Amen. Amen. "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old as he departed from Haran. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, for just a quickening of your word, a quickening of the spirit. And Father, I thank you, Lord, even today, give us eyes to see, Father, the promises, just as Abraham was brought before a land, as the Lord was showing him. Just, you know, Lord, that we would visualize it. Give us the eyes to see everything that we need to see. Give us a heart to receive, Father, your word. And Father, even today, Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm a little cranked up for the second service. The first one's a warm-up, so praise God. I take a little bit of time to adjust, but, you know, it was interesting. What was the flow? What was that again? The flow determines the go, and I like that because you know, sometimes you gotta step into the flow of things, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about that today. Because I believe the one thing that as we've been in this purpose series, God has, you know, He's purpose. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." Do you know that God has a plan for you? I mean, do you know? There's got to be a real note that God has a plan for me, and it's a plan that I would prosper. It's a plan that I would advance. It's a plan that I would take ground. And the flow determines the go. And I like that because, you know, I was, as you were sharing that, I thought, you know, some years ago in 2011, as Miranda and I were stepping out in faith, believing, I think it was 2011, 2012, I remember coming home, and the Lord had spoken to me. He was talking about planting, sowing seed. The Lord had spoken to me at one point that we needed to sow a seed. It was an unusual seed, one that I had never sown before. But as He said that, the flow determines the go, I thought, you know, I didn't need to share that testimony because, honestly, we're gonna see wealth flow into the house of God. Not just this house. I'm talking to the house of God. That, you know, the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. Amen. There's a transfer coming. And, you know, you can say these things and people will look at you like, what? No, there's a transfer that's coming to God's people. And, you know, I believe God's called His people to be successful. And it's up for us to catch the vision. Amen. It's not for us to lay back and, you know, if God wants to do it. No, He's calling me to do it. Amen. And, you know, as you said that, I remember that, you know, I felt like the Lord was telling me, you know, you need to put a seed in the ground. And the Lord was speaking to, you know, to both Miranda and I to sow a seed to a certain person. And, you know, I got home that night and I was like, you know, I said, you know, we're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to go. Because, see, we're talking about Thrive this year. We're talking about Thrive. And you know, you know, it's like what I said at first service. You've got to be, you know, even in the little things, you got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to do the little things because a lot of times the little things are the test. You know, this year I said, you know, I'm going to be healthy as a person. Well, what is the going in that? Well, I got to go to the gym. I got to find time. I got to make the time to do that. But the flow determines the go. Am I getting that right? The flow determines the go. And so I got home and Miranda said, you know, I'm feeling like the Lord wants us to put a seed in the ground. And I was like, that's funny. The Lord's telling me the same thing. The Lord was, you know, speaking to me. And so, you know, I said, well, huh. You know, as a couple, you know, it was like, well, what did the Lord tell you? You know, what figure did you get? And I was like, you know, because, you know, honestly, my figure was lower. Sometimes my figure's higher, but my figure was lower. And I'm thinking it's a certain amount, like, you know, but the flow determines the go. And so we were getting ready to take some big steps for the Lord. You guys catch it? We were getting ready to take some big steps for the Lord. And I said, well, you know, I feel like, you know, for at that time, it was like, you know, it's like $5,000. I felt to sow. And she kind of walked around our kitchen area and she said, you know, I feel like the Lord wants, this seed is a big seed. It's going to determine a period of time in our life. It's going to be a big, you know, I just, she wasn't saying anything. And I said, well, what did the Lord tell you? She said, I think $10,000. And I, you know, of course, when my wife said $10,000, the only thing I seen was my bank account. I'm being honest. We've been married 10 or 12 years. I didn't have a lot. It's not like I had a lot of money stacked up in the, you know, stocks are doing well. No, it was, I began to see the numbers in my bank account. And I thought, $10,000. We got it. But boy, that's a lot. I don't know. That's a lot to me. It may not be a lot to you, but it was a lot to me. And I'll never forget that. And I think I walked outside, and a lot of times it's like, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm putting my trust in you. Amen. Guys, I wasn't a pastor. My wife and I had started businesses. You know, we were waiting on the Lord for several things. But we had started to get on track, and we started to get on track many, many years before that when we started starting with our tithe and with our offering. And I was thankful that we could plant that seed. The flow determines your go. That's, praise God. I just felt to share that testimony. But I want to jump into this text this morning, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 4, as I read. It's really good because God is doing something with Abraham here. And he says, look, I'm going to take you to a land and I'm going to show you what the opportunity is. I'm going to show you what the possibilities are. Do you see it? Do you see it? And it's you got to catch this in your spirit this morning because that's what the Lord will do. He'll take us to a place. I think about even some of the people that have moved from, you know, because I've prayed this way and I'll pray this way everywhere I go that the Lord would send people from the nations. And even this morning, you know, we have Hawaiian Islands and the Chukis. You know, we have that representation here, which is really cool. But I believe as God is sending people, God is also going to provide for people. Amen. Even to say this, because there are people in here that, you know, never thought maybe that they would ever own a home, but they own a home. Why? Because of God. Because of God. There's people in here that never thought they would have certain jobs, but God. Amen. Because, you know, they went into a land. And see, this is the key. There's got to be a willingness. Once you see the land, once you can overlook the land, you've got to go in and possess the land. And you see that land, and I believe Abraham was doing something here. He was looking within the valley. He was looking across the hill, and he was saying, you know, when God was showing him, and he had the promise of God. Can I tell you that you have the promise of God? You have Christ Jesus. The very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. So you have something so great. I couldn't even put the name on the most excellent one. As I thought about the word great today, I thought, well, maybe that's he's the most excellent one. He's the greatest. And he's for you. He's for you. He's for you. But I could see that Abraham, as he's spying out the land and he's looking at the land, you know what he sees? He sees opportunity. He sees things, and he's calling things, and I believe into existence. And he's saying, "Look, that's where I'm going to put my. I'm going to put 100 cattle over here. I'm going to, you know, my pigs. I'm going to put over here. Uncle Jimmy. Jimmy's not here today, but just off the top of my head. But I'm going to put him over here. I don't want him to live with me anymore. So I'm going to put him over on this 100 acres over here, and I'm going to put this family member over here because my family's coming with me, right? But you know, we're not going to just be all bunked up. We're going to give them places to farm. We're going to give them places to cultivate the land. But I believe that's what he was doing. He was looking at a place, and he was looking at it saying, "Oh, I see opportunity. I see what the Lord's showing me, because the Lord said I was blessed, and that the nations through me that they would be blessed, that the nations through me through guys, that's a lot of responsibility, wouldn't you say? that the nations through me would be blessed. You know, Abraham, he's my brother. He's your brother. Christ Jesus, we're co-heirs. You know, these are relatives. The same blessing, and I love it because you see it in the New Testament. The same blessing that was upon Abraham, guess what? It's upon you as well. And you know what? The requirement here is that, you know, you look at and you spy out a land and you say, you know, no, I see that. I can possess that. I can take that. You know, Miranda and I went out the other day and, you know, we went out to eat at Olive Garden, 10 o'clock. It's a great time to go to Olive Garden. There's nobody there. And, you know, it's just a good time to go because they're all closing, but we had great service. Just, you might not get the right drink you want because they're already dumping the drinks out. And Miranda asked for extra sauce and they had already threw the sauce out. So make sure you get it all on the front end, not the back end. So, but it was a good time to go. And as we sit there, we begin to just talk about, you know, the things that the Lord had begun to show us in 2010, 2011, 2009. Prior to that was in business and stuff, but we knew something was happening in 2009, 10. There was a shift coming. It was a spiritual shift. You know, of course, we went into the missions field, and God, you know, just a real favor, you know, real favor as we stepped out in faith and we did the things that the Lord asked us to do. But can I tell you that even in the stepping, you don't have everything figured out, but because, you know, you wouldn't need faith if that were the case. See, that's the thing. A lot of times, you know, the reason we don't go sometimes is because, well, maybe it's that we don't have enough faith, or maybe we don't really trust the Lord enough. And I don't want that to sound hard, but there is a real trusting sometimes when we take a step of faith. I want to keep this real simple today because I'm not talking about the big things. I'm not talking about I'm going to go on the streets and win 10,000 people to the Lord tomorrow. I'm talking about, will you go knock on your neighbor's door? Will you go? Because see, Abraham was willing. God had taken him to a place. He had shown him a promise. And Abraham, what he had to see was the opportunities. And that's the same thing the Lord does with us. Because listen, if we won't go, we won't go in our surroundings a lot of times. How are we ever going to be sent to the multitudes? How are we ever going to be sent far, far away? If we're not doing the little things? You know, we felt early on this year, that's what Thrive was about. That's why the vision of Thrive is, it was that we would catch as a body and as a church, that, you know, that we individually need to thrive, body, soul, and spirit. That we as a church can thrive, body, soul, and spirit. What's that mean? You know, that our bodies, it's our physical temple. That we would take care, you know, that this would be a year. And we're gearing up. We're going to bring somebody in. Pastor Marin and I were just talking about it. We're going to bring somebody in and we're going to educate around areas of health. Why? It's important that the body of Christ be healthy. You guys with me? Amen. It's important that we have information sown into us that we become healthy. Amen. We're going to talk about finances. What about the health of our finances? Is that important? Everybody say yes, Pastor Brad. Because you know, we can talk about this, but we can't talk about that. No, we've got to be able to talk. What? We've got to be able to talk about these things. How are we going to thrive if we don't talk about them? If we don't hear the Word of God preached around them? How are we going to believe the promises of the Lord if we don't hear things like in the offering message we heard today? You know, that's the stuff that gets in you, that stirs you up. And I tell you, you know, what happens with the Word of God? The Word of God will pierce. The Word of God will touch something. It will touch a nerve. It will touch something that should challenge you. It's scriptural. It's scripturally to be challenged. Listen, if you're not challenged as a Christian, I would say you're not doing something right. You should be challenged as a believer. Yeah, I you know, even today, he's taking up the offering message. I feel challenged to be a bigger giver. I feel challenged to go pray with more people. And I felt that rise up on me this week that, you know, I'm not out praying with as many people as I was, you know, maybe a few years ago. We sat and we looked over the, you know, we're getting ready to launch our campaign for the church property. And we looked over, you know, just the number of people that have been won to Christ since this church was established 5 years ago. 2,400 people have given their heart to Jesus Christ. Praise God. I rejoice in that and I'm thankful, but there's a side of me that says it's not enough. It's not enough. That, you know, that's what you, please understand, this is what you're a part of. You're a part of a church that believes in winning souls. We have a go team. We go into communities. You know, we're going to give testimony. I got to have you guys come up and share because, you know, what God has done in these facilities, people don't have a clue. People don't have a clue. The people have gotten saved and given their hearts to the Lord, and then they've died 3 months later. That if we weren't sent, that God didn't send us somewhere to go to minister to somebody life, and give them the opportunity to receive salvation. You guys, you know, there's a heaven, and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, Kenneth Hagin used to say. It's very real. These things are very real, but God's used this church to go. And we go into these facilities and we make sure people are saved. You guys, listen, if you're not a part of things like that in this house, please say, you know, how do I get involved? You know, maybe you can pray when there's an outreach going on. Maybe you can go and be a part of an outreach. You know, Sister Jamie's running the camera. She went Friday night and shared the word. Amen. You guys are quiet today. Challenged, right? You challenged? Anybody challenged in the house? You become a part of these things because you want to see kingdom advance. That's why you get involved. That's why, you know, this is Kings. We don't miss an opportunity, and I'm talking about opportunity today, to be able to get people involved. You're somebody to Jesus. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you need to break off whatever thing that happened to you, whatever thing that caused you maybe to get disgruntled with God. Break it off. Break it off and say, no, He's got more for me. He's got more for me. You know, you're in a church. I mean, to think that in 5 years that we've had people flow in, flow out, and that's not a normal. But when somebody says, you know, Pastor, you guys, you're an active church, that's a compliment to me. But for some, it's like, we're just not that active. Well, can you pray? Well, I guess so. Well, then you have a job. You have a job. Well, Pastor, I can't go on the streets like you do. Can you pray? Well, you have a job. You get on the Go Team page and you find out when the Go Team goes and we post and we're going out to win souls today. And then we have 25 people in the house praying for the Go Team when they go out or when we go to a facility. You see how kingdom, we have to have a kingdom mindset. And this is not where it was first service. Praise Jesus. I think this is better though already. Thank you, Jesus. But we have to have a kingdom mindset. You know, and I want to say this because, see, every true and lasting success in the kingdom is traceable to divine, to godly divine encounters or divine guidance from God. You know, success is, it's a choice that you have to make. God, I can't do it for you. God gives us the keys, right? But ultimately, it's you making the choice. And a lot of times, it's you making the choice with what comes out of your mouth. Will I have this or not have this? Oh, Pastor, it's tough. Will you pray for me? Okay, let's pray over the tough thing. We pray over the tough thing, and then if you come back to me 3 hours later, oh, Pastor, it's tough. You didn't grab a hold of it. Because, you know, what happens is we move into an area where okay, we pray, we believe God. We believe God. We wholeheartedly believe God. And we say, yes and amen. This is your promise, God. I'm going to stand upon your word. But, you know, when a wave comes, I tell you, you know when a wave hits when you're believing God for something in a church meeting? Don't miss revival services. Make a point to get in these meetings. Make a point to be here. Make a point to get people here. We need to get people saved. They're going to encounter miracles, signs, and wonders. All that's going to break forth for 3 or 4 days. Who knows how long? But make a point to be in these meetings and bring people. We don't pray and fast just hoping we get 25 people into a meeting. We're going to fill this house. Amen. You know, so much that we might have to look for another location. You know, if everybody here comes, that comes to this church, both services, we won't have room. We'll have to get chairs. We'll have an overflow room somewhere. I don't know, but that's what we do. We become a part of, and we know why? It's because this is what we've been spying out. This is what we've been doing in Fairmont. We came into, and we just like Abraham, we looked at a land. We looked at a land and said, you know, God is good. We can do this here. We can do this here. You know, and it all didn't happen at once. You know, the first year we were here, we won 1,000 people to Christ. How did that happen? Knock, knock, knock. Angela. Miranda met Angela the first year we were here. And Angela's still planted, running the bus ministry in the church. Amen. Amen. She got saved, prayed for, and now she's helping run bus ministry. And she shared the word last month at Unity. God wants to use people. Do you not see it? Yeah. Oh, Pastor, you know, you're the anointed one. You should share the word everywhere. I don't want to share the word everywhere. I want to equip you. I want you to have it in you because listen, when we multiply us, when we multiply as pastors, guess what happens? Everything shifts. If it's just Miranda and I here running, there would only be 10 people in this church. There'd be 10 people. And I'm not looking for that a boy or a pat on the back. That's not why we're here. We're here to impart into you for you to say, no, my cousin needs saved. My aunt needs saved. My brother needs saved. I need my family in. Guys, Jesus is going to return. It's going to happen. Sometimes we're just cruising along hoping that we can make sense out of all this. We've got to get with the program. Our friends, our neighbors. Amen. You know, and unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The Lord is going to build the house. Now, I want to cover three things today. It's a long way around to the beginning part of this, but you know, one of the things that we see the Lord do here. He said from your family. Well, let me back up. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. There's a lot right there. There's a lot right there. You know, it's a separation. There's a separation here. Get out from your family. Get out. You know, Dr. Morocco, you know, and I never did finish it. William Rand and I went out and had dinner, and we just talked about the 14 years, everything we've seen God do. But, you know, Dr. Morocco was interesting. When I came upon his staff, you know, one of the first things he looked at me, he said, do you own a home? And I said, we do, but I said, not in Hawaii. I said, I would really like to buy a house in Hawaii. He's like, yeah, I know, it's expensive here, huh? He said, in Hana, he said, it's really high back there. It's you know, houses are really high. And, of course, you know, he said, they're just high. But he said, you believe the Lord can give you a home? I'm absolutely, I believe that. And he said, it's so important that you see this and you understand. He said, you need your own home. You need a home. You need a home. And I've watched him over a couple of years of being on his staff. He would talk about it in staff meeting. He'd talk about with his pastors. He's helped pastors find homes. He's helped them find financing. What I can share here, we're live. But he's been a blessing to his staff. And he always said, do you have a home? Do you have a home? And it always meant a lot to me that we had a pastor that cared whether or not we had our own homes. Because what home ownership represents is a form of freedom. Guys, there's a form of freedom in that. That you know, this is mine. Right? Anybody in a home right now? How's that make you feel good, right? This is my home. Minister Lehigh, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I mean God, what God did. Now you say, like, this is my home. And you're like, hey, Dr. Morocco, because Dr. Morocco was like, you know, because what did he say to you the first couple, 2 or 3 years here that he was coming? He said, have you bought a home yet? Right? He said, because if you buy a home, he said, there's more to it. What's what it represents. You know, your commitment is where your home's at a lot of times too. I mean, there's a lot right there. Your commitment's where your home's at. But that, you know, was the first thing he asked Minister Lehigh here 3 years ago. Have you bought a home, Minister Lehigh? Yeah, I'm looking. We're going to do it. He said, well, you know, I need a place to come and stay when I come to West Virginia. You know, of course, you guys had a room ready for him and everything. I said, Dr. Minister Lehigh's got, you know, every room in their house is like Hawaiian. It's so amazing. Every room is massively big. God loves them. Jesse and Christine, amen. Christine, I don't even know where she's. She might be in the back. I mean, the drive. They come here and they rent it for a very short amount of time. And she was like, no, we're going to have a home. Number two, that was number one. You've got to search it out. You've got to search out opportunities. Nothing's going to happen if you don't search. If you don't do anything, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. If you don't apply the word in your life, you know, the obedience of the word, nothing's going to happen. You have to do these things. You just want to live ho-hum. You don't want to make decisions. You want to just be what you just want to. You can do that, okay? You can do whatever you want to do. That's the thing with God. You can excel in the Lord, though. Amen? Can I tell you that? Can I give you something? You can excel in the Lord. He's on your side. So you have an advantage. And we act like we don't have an advantage as believers. We think only Hollywood elites and porn companies have the ability to be able to make money or do things or do big things. No. We've got to change our thinking. We've got to change our minds. You know, you could talk about the porn industry on here and get kicked off social media because you're coming against the agenda. You mention the name of Jesus Christ and you get kicked off because you mention that name. Somebody mentions the name of Jesus. Well, let's go to commercial break. Talk about God, but we can't talk about Jesus. Man, we got to know what we believe. That's why, you know, like I said, it's easy to find yourself separated as a people. I love people. Man, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to watch people go to hell. That's why we're not going to compromise. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to go to the ways of the world. Number two, create opportunities. Back to what I was talking about. Three ways of locating opportunities. Number two, create opportunities. Praise God. I'm going to go pretty quick here. Create opportunities. You know, you search it out. You search the things out, and then you activate it. This is where faith applied. It's like you see it, you've learned it, and now you go and you do, and you create the opportunity. Okay, it's like, say I want to be a hot dog vendor. I see the hot dog cart. I see the little umbrella. I see where I want to be in Fairmont. There's a corner in Fairmont that I know traffic stops. There's a parking lot here. People will park. I know that I could sell hot dogs from this location. I did all the research. I found out the hot dog cart costs $1,700, all the stuff. I can launch a hot dog business in Fairmont right around $2,500. That's about what it costs. Why would I know that? I researched it. I searched it out. I could tell you what a lot of businesses would cost. I searched it out. That's how you, that's, you see, it's discovery. And most people think, well, you know, what purpose is this knowledge? Well, I was, you know, at one point thought I might start a hot dog business. I didn't. Right? I know you, I'm cracking you up today. But see, this is the next step, because listen, if you miss the next step, because see, you search it out. And then you go create. And you do. And you okay, I have a concept. Now I'm going to create the plan, and I'm going to mobilize the plan. I'm going to create a market for the best hot dog in Fairmont. Now, it's pretty competitive here, isn't it? You have a lot of good hot dogs here. My wife's like, no, she hates hot dogs. I like hot dogs. But you create the opportunities. You yourself create the opportunities. You make it happen. You make it happen. I'm going to find a place to land this whole thing here in a second. Let me say this in creating, because listen, you know, the one thing that a lot of times that most people fail to do in creating opportunities, they don't think. They don't put thought to things. So they get stuck. You know, you search it out. You see what the cost is going to be. You find, and you make a determination. I'm going to be prosperous. Why? Because the Lord wants me to be prosperous. You think anybody goes into business and says, I'm going to fail. I'm launching this business, but I've made a decision that I'm going to fail. No, they don't. Right? I mean, you got to see, this is an opportunity. And you know, you create a plan. You know where most people fail in businesses? They think when they start a business that every dollar that comes in, they should pay themselves that dollar. Well, you know, I brought in $150 this week. I'm going to pay myself $160. I'm going to write out a check for $160. No, you're going to bankrupt the checkbook. You see what I'm saying? I'm paying myself $10 over what I brought in because I deserve it. And that's what people do. And a lot of times people will start a business and you know, and it's like creating momentum in a business. They pay themselves way too much. So many people, friends of ours, you know, they would start a business and they would get things going, and they're, you know, I would just ask questions, you know, how many staff do you have? You know, well, just me and the partner, and you know, we're getting paid this. Never gonna make it. Never gonna make it. You're never gonna make it. And you know, it's like, you know, great business. You can bring $5,000-$6,000 in a month, but then you're paying everything goes into paying you, and you're not storing up. What are you gonna pay your taxes with? Oh, you gotta pay taxes? Whew, that's a whole other story. I can't go down that road. Yeah, you gotta pay taxes, by the way. It's the legal way of doing things. Render Caesar what belongs to him. You know, people say, you pay taxes? Yeah, you should pay taxes. Jesus. Now, we get cheated a lot. It's one for the books. We get cheated a lot, yes. But render to Caesar what belongs to him. Create opportunities. You look for ways to create opportunities. Quit being passive. Quit waiting for somebody to steal your idea. Because listen, as long as you're sitting over here, I see the lamp. I see it. And you're not taking the steps to create it. And faith is always moving forward. See, that was the thing. And to bring it all back, see, that was the thing with Abraham. God showed him, took him to a place and showed him. It's not vacation time. It's time to work. You know, you'll find the story when the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. And I shared it last Wednesday night. It's out of Genesis chapter 18, when the Lord appeared as he was sitting in the heat of the day, likely around noontime, and the Lord shows up. Abraham's 99 years old, and the Lord shows up, and you know, Abraham, he greeted him, and he was excited. And the Bible says that he ran. He was 99 years old, and he ran. He had something in him that was different. That same something exists with all of us. I'm different. I don't look like my family. I love your family. But when God begins to separate you, be separated. Don't run back to. Don't run back. Don't run back to where God's pulled you and brought you what He's brought you out of. Oh my. Stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. Don't give up ground. Don't give up ground that you fought for. You fought for. You paid a price. I paid a price for my kids. That they'll never have to go back. I remember the price. It's not like I go around telling my kids that, but I know that I paid a price for my kids so they don't have to go through what I went through. And some of you in here, you paid the price. You seized the opportunity, and that's the last one. You got to catch it. You got to seize it. You got to seize the opportunities when they exist. You've got to put eyes on them, and you know God will open up doors, and when He opens up a door, you be quick. You know, because a lot of times open doors, you know, if you're over here caught just still spying out the land and you don't walk through that door that God's opened, you don't make something happen that God's saying, "Look, I've shown you a way." Man, I've watched, you know, can I say this, because I've watched God break. There's not a person in here that I can look at and not see personally where God has broken something open in their life. Not one of you. And I've known some of you a very short amount of time. But we think, well, you know, what's taken 3 years? Abraham was 75 years old, and at 99, he's still running after the Lord. He goes in and he tells his wife, "Sarah, get up. You need to cook some food. The Lord's here." Sarah's back there in the back. She's all whatever, you know. Yes. Man, we've got to learn to respond. And you got to learn to, you know, see, this was an opportunity for Abraham. What if he just sat there? We can't just sit. We got to quit setting. We got to quit just waiting. Lord, move me. That's why I raise my hands in worship. The Lord doesn't have to move me to worship. The Lord doesn't got to move me to give, because I see it in His Word. I see what it says, and I say, I'm going to be obedient to what the Word says. Amen. I'm going to do what it tells me to do. I'm obedient to what His Word says. Does it hurt sometimes? Praise God. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that there's clearly, please, I'm not trying to preach in a way that There's something that's pulling people closer to God. You can run. you can run from this stuff. But I'm telling you, if you'll stop and you'll find yourself, position yourself, and you say, "I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to do it. Lord, I see that. I see that opportunity, and I'm going to seize that." Some of you, even this week, you'll have opportunities. The Lord will bring somebody before you. He'll put somebody in your heart. Seize that opportunity. Seize that opportunity. You'll pray with someone this week. You'll invite somebody to revival next week. You know, listen, can I tell you? Let God be God. Because you know why we don't bring people to revival? What are they going to think about my church? Then what are they going to think about me? You know, people come to church, they clap their hands, they jump, they dance, they sing. People never seen anything like that. My family has never. Let God deal with them. You'll find that a lot of times people are like, "That wasn't half bad." You don't have to say anything. Don't try to explain. Please don't try to explain it, me to anybody. Just have them watch today's service. Just listen to this guy. He's crazy. But I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You know, like I said, I love Jesus. There will be no white flag surrender in this house. None. 4 years ago, my wife looked at each, you know, like I said, you guys have heard this. You know, when COVID hit, we looked at each other. I prayed for you. What are we going to do? I prayed 20 minutes. I look, you know, come up. We, Lord's called us. You know, whatever. We're going to we've trusted him thus far. And we've been okay. And we pulled the kids together and said, you know, listen, I'll go to jail first. Your mom will be second. And that's what we told our kids. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, honey, if they put us in front of a firing squad, I'll take the first bullet. My wife's like, well, no, I want to be first. I want to, you know. And it's like, no, we'll just hold hands and do it together. Praise Jesus. Just take us both out. My kids thought we were crazy. But, you know, I know how things can shift real quick. But I know my home's in heaven. You quit playing around like you think you don't know where you're going after you die. I'm afraid to die. Why? Why? You have a millennial. You have a millennial reign with Christ, 1,000 years on earth, and then you have an eternity with him. What are you worried about? What are you really worried about? The only reason we get worried here is because we're afraid a lot of times. Well, am I living right? You know, it's just get sin out of your life. Get your heart right with the Lord. Get the junk out. The reason people get scared now is because, well, I don't know if I'll make... Honestly, it's I don't know if I'll make heaven. Because people are in sin. You repent, turn away from sin, and get your heart right with God. Honestly, you know, we think... I don't know why people think it's so difficult or hard. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm messed up. I've screwed up. Listen, and when you get saved and when you get born again and you're about 6 months into it or maybe even 6 years again in it and you say, you know what, Lord, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I messed up. I need to repent of that. You do it again. You're being perfected in the image of Christ. You don't have to live with sin, though. Let me just tell you, you don't have to live with sin. Kick it out. You don't have to stay in sin. Praise God. And the third one I said was, you know, you got to catch the opportunities. David saw an opportunity in Goliath. David saw an opportunity in Goliath. And I love that. He before he ever showed up on scene, David had already determined, you know what, this giant's going down. But David asked something very unique. He's like, so what would it be for the man that takes out the giant? Well, you're not going to have to pay taxes. Praise God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Who in here likes paying? Anyway, he was more responsible to the first service. Praise Jesus. You don't have to pay taxes. That's a good thing, right? You don't have to pay taxes. You get to king's daughter. You know, you're going to be a blessed man. You know, that was a reward that David received, but David had showed up on scene because he had already seized the opportunity. His brothers didn't want to go fight the giant. Nobody in the army wanted to fight the giant, but David was like, this is a time for my God to shine. And you know, on the other side too, there's a reward. There's benefits in taking out the giant. So he sees the opportunity. Joseph, another, you know, he sees the opportunity. When he had interpreted a dream of the cupbearer, he told the cupbearer, he said, when you go to the king, be sure and tell him about me. When you get into the palace, make sure you tell the king about me. Remind him of me. You know, we see Jesus also in at the pool of Bethesda where the crippled man for 38 years was waiting to be put in a pool so that he could be healed. 38 years he's waiting on a promise. And see, and I think this is he's looking for an opportunity. He's looking for an opportunity. But you know, honestly, he's just Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to be healed? And he says, well, see, this is what happens. A lot of times we miss the opportunities because we focus on the problem. See, the man was like, well, you know, I've tried. But, you know, for 38 years, every time I get up to get in that pool, when that angel stirs that water up, every time I get up to get in the pool, you know, somebody jumps in front of me. It's wonder Jesus, you know, Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? You know, see, a lot of times in the situations is that we get focused on the problem. We miss the opportunities. We don't seize them because we think the problem's too big. We focus on the problem. Focus on God, the King, the Lord. Focus on the one that can get you your breakthrough. F- Listen, we do things in this house. It's things that we've learned through Casey. We pray. You focus on things that break, the prayer of agreement. When we grab hands, guess what we're doing? We're praying for one another, a prayer of agreement that whatever we're coming together in agreement in, that happens. I told somebody the other day, when I talk about witty inventions and ideas, and when we pray that way, I believe that. I'm not just, this sounds like a good prayer to pray. No, we believe what we pray. We don't have a healing ministry. We have Jesus. We don't have a prophetic ministry. We have Jesus. I don't have a financial ministry. I have Jesus. And all that stuff flows through him. Remember sometime when we were in a meeting and we had 50, 60 people in the altars. People started getting healed. Just boom, boom, boom. Somebody walks up and says, well, I didn't know you guys had a healing ministry. I don't. We don't. We don't have a healing ministry. So it's not I anyway. It's what he does. It's what he does. I'm just a vessel being used by God. That's it, right? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.